Last night we commenced with the dua, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. That was the dua and the discussion. And we spoke about what is meant by Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana, O Allah, do not let our hearts deviate. Do not let our hearts swerve away after you have given us hidayat. So during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to tread a certain path. We want to remain on this path throughout our lives, so consistently we will make this dua that Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Once the month of Ramadan comes to an end, do not let our hearts swerve away from this beautiful path that we have chosen during the month of Ramadan. We spoke about the meaning of zayg, and then we spoke about the meaning of qalb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at times, referring to the heart, Allah uses the word qalb, which is the natural state of the heart. And at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term fu'ad. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. The second part of the dua. So one is, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And أَوَ اللَّهِ bestow upon us. Hab. We'll come to the meaning of hab when we discuss, hopefully we get to it, the dua for this evening, where we will be asking Allah for pure and righteous offspring. So there too Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word hab. Hab lana min ladunka. From your side, O Allah, grant us from your side rahmah. Grant us from your side rahmah. Rahmah is another word in the Arabic language that you cannot find a single comprehensive word that can describe the meaning of rahmah. Rahmah, we translate it as mercy. But rahmah, the word rahmah, it means love, care, and consideration. Love, care, and consideration. All three meanings are captured in this word rahmah. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, we learn that the rahim, the mother's womb, in which the child is conceived, and in which the child goes through all the different stages throughout pregnancy, that womb, that place, that sound and secure place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this to happen is called rahim. Rahim, rahama. It comes from the same word as rahmah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to the womb of the mother as a rahim, which comes from rahmah. Why is that? Because while you are in the womb of the mother, you are experiencing love, you are experiencing care, and you are experiencing consideration. Not from your mother, but from who? From Allah. It's Allah's care, it's Allah's love, and it's Allah's consideration for you in the womb that allows you to go through those different stages. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. One of the most amazing attributes of Allah is the attribute of Al-Wahhab. So thus far, we learned of the attribute Rabb, we spoke about the attribute As-Sami', we spoke about the attribute Al-Alim, and now we move on to another great attribute of Allah, and that is Al-Wahhab. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, they truly understood the meaning of Al-Wahhab. What does Al-Wahhab mean? Al-Wahhab, the word Al-Wahhab is derived from Hiba. And what does Hiba mean? Hiba means a gift. Hiba means a gift. So Al-Wahhab, the bestower of gifts. But Allah uses the exaggerated format, the emphasized format. The simple format of that you use in Arabic for a bestower of gifts is wahib. If somebody gives you a gift, you refer to that person, the donor, you will refer to him as wahib. We do not refer to Allah as wahib. We use the exaggerated format, and that is wahhab. Allah does not just give you gifts once or twice, but Allah bestows upon you gifts all the time. So it comes upon you all the time, and that is the meaning of al-wahhab. Gifts upon gifts. And the meaning hab, when you're asking Allah, subhanAllah, it's so amazing. You know, the first dua, or rather the second dua that we studied was Rabbana atina. We use the word atina. Atina means give us. Right? Atina, give us. Here you are saying wahab. Hab, when you're saying hab, it's ya Allah, I don't deserve it. I really don't deserve it. If you grant it to me, it is only through your generosity and your kindness that you grant it to me. That is what is meant when you say, Hab. O Allah, Hab, bestow upon me. It's something that I really don't deserve. It is only through your kindness that I get it and I receive it from you, because you are Al-Wahhab. Another meaning of Al-Wahhab, and really we haven't truly understood the meaning of Al-Wahhab. Al-Wahhab means that Allah is so generous that His generosity does not have any limit. There is no ceiling to His generosity. Allah's generosity is not kept. Unlike human beings, as affluent and as wealthy as the person may be, there is a limit to that person's generosity. At some point and at some stage, his generosity will cease to exist. But Al-Wahhab means that there's no ceiling. Allah has not kept His generosity. There's no roof. So if Allah has not kept His generosity, why should you and I keep our du'as? Why should we place a ceiling on our du'a? Why should we limit our du'a? And amazing, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they understood the true meaning of Al-Wahhab, and that's why they made du'a to Allah for the impossible. They made du'a to Allah for the impossible. Sulaiman alayhi salam, what was his du'a? Oh Allah, give me control over the wind. Will you and I make such a du'a? We won't. Why? We haven't understood the meaning of Al-Wahhab. Nothing is impossible for Allah. So to you and I, this concept of impossibility that exists within our minds, when you sit on that musalla, no matter what the medical expert told you, we're not saying don't refer to a medical expert. Of course you should. But no matter, that should not deter you and create within your mind that doubt of impossibility. Because when it comes to Allah, nothing is impossible. So irrespective of what the specialist had advised you regarding a certain matter, or what your manager might have advised you, or your financial advisor, or your legal advisor, right? They made it seem impossible to you. But when you sit on that musalla, understand that before Allah, that term impossibility and that concept of impossibility does not exist. Zakariya alayhi salam, and we're going to study his dua tonight if time permits, inshaAllah. 90 years old. Wallahi, 90 years old. And what's the dua that he makes? Rabbi habli min ladunka waliya. Allah, grant me a child. At the age of 90. 90 years old. Allah did not bless him with a child. He makes a dua, Allah, grant me a child at the age of 90. Why? Al-Wahhab. They understood the meaning of this attribute. And you know what? If you are not going to understand who Allah is through the attributes of Allah, why did Allah choose 99 attributes for Himself and not one attribute? Because perhaps the more the attributes are confined and limited, the more difficult it is for you to get to know the person, right? But when a person has so many different attributes, there are so many different channels through which you can come to know that being Allah has chosen for Himself 99 attributes. So if you don't get to know Allah through the attribute of Sami', which we did, or the attribute of Al-Alim, or the attribute of Ar-Rabb, perhaps you'll get to know Allah through the attribute of Al-Wahhab. And that's why Allah has chosen these attributes. Let us sit and study these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah belongs the most beautiful attributes. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. When you make dua to Allah using His attributes. And then Allah answers your du'as. So one attribute is Al-Wahhab. And that is why if a person wants his needs to be fulfilled, recite this attribute of Allah excessively, as much as possible. Al-Wahhab. Allahumma anta al-wahhab. Allahumma anta al-wahhab. Allahumma anta al-wahhab. Oh Allah, you are the bestower of gifts and your generosity knows no limits. Right? So if you want your needs to be fulfilled, consistently recite this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the attribute of Al-Wahhab. Al-Wahhab, the absolutely generous and kind being. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then blesses us with a gift, and we ask Allah for many of such gifts, then we should use the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in a way that will earn the happiness of Allah, and Allah ta'ala will bestow upon more such gifts. So Allah is Al-Wahhab, the bestower of gifts. And one thing else we learn from this dua That in the initial part of the dua which we studied last night, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِهْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, that hidayah and guidance lies in the hands of Allah alone. Allah can tilt your heart in whichever direction Allah so wishes. Okay, so if Allah wants to tilt your heart away from the straight path, then Allah says, I put this person on the straight path during the month of Ramadan. I allowed him to come to the masjid. I allowed her to open the Quran and recite. I allowed them to get busy in different types of good deeds. But after the Hilal of Eid is sighted, then we do not appreciate that guidance which Allah has blessed us with during the month of Ramadan. What does Allah do? Allah tilts your heart into a different direction. That's why this dua is so important. So the first dua that we learned in the month of Ramadan, we are going to do a lot of good deeds. We need those deeds to be answered. The dua that we learned, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Right? Then the most comprehensive dua that we learned after that, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. And another important dua that you are going to make throughout the month of Ramadan and throughout your life, because if you want to down iman, this is the dua that you need to make. It's a dua for steadfastness. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Oh Allah, please my heart, just keep it focused on you as it was focused on you throughout the month of Ramadan. So this is a dua that you will recite for steadfastness upon deeds and also for death upon iman. If you want to leave this world with iman, then this is a dua that you should recite excessively and as much as possible. Moving on to the next dua, it says day 4. Are we on day 4? We are on day 4. Sir? Okay. Alhamdulillah. The title of this dua, we might not complete the entire dua this evening, but let's try and discuss as much as we can. And this is another important dua. What is the dua? Dua for pure and righteous offspring. This is one of the gifts from Allah. This is a true gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that you do not deserve. If you get it is Allah's favor upon you. If you are deprived of it, then it is one of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen through His infinite mercy and His wisdom not to bless you with, but it is a gift. What is a gift? Something that you do not deserve. And it is given to you as something extra and something additional. That is a gift. But one of the du'as that we should make is du'a for pure and righteous offspring. This du'a is the du'a of Zakariya alayhi salam. Zakariya alayhi salam was approximately 90 years of age. And one day, remember, he was the caretaker of Maryam alayhi salam. One day he walks into the chamber of Maryam and he finds with her summer fruits during the winter season. And he says, Ya Maryam, anna laki hadha. O Maryam, where did you get these fruits from? It's summertime. How are you enjoying the fruits of winter? It's wintertime. How are you enjoying summer fruits? قَالَتْ هِيَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. She says, Oh Zakariya, this has come to me directly from Allah. When he heard this, that Wahab, that subhanallah, nothing is, season does not matter to Allah. Circumstances do not affect the decisions and the planning of Allah. And this is something that we need to get out of our minds. When you sit on the musalla before Allah, take all those perceptions and those negative thoughts out of your mind completely, annihilate it from your mind. It should not exist within your mind. Like I said, what the specialist had said to you, what your legal advisor had said to you, you need to negate all of that and sit before Allah with full hope and expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he saw this, he thought to himself, if Allah could bless her with summer fruits during the winter season, why can Allah not bless me with a child? And that's when he went and he made this dua. This is when he made this dua now, completely convinced that Allah will give me a child and bless me with a child. Rabbi habni min ladunka dhurriyah. Oh my Rabb, hab. Again, I cannot possibly explain to you what this word really contains and it means. Hab. I do not deserve it, oh Allah. Hab. Give me a gift. I'm asking you for a gift. Hab comes from hiba. Hab comes from hiba. Hiba means a gift. Habli, give me a gift from your side. From your side. What gift? Dhurriya, a gift in the form of children. Every child that Allah has blessed you with is a gift. is a priceless gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because look at the dua. When you are asking Allah for dhurriya, dhurriya means progeny. What are you saying? You're not saying atini. When it came to hasan of this world, when you wanted a good home, you wanted a good spouse, you wanted a good vehicle, you wanted a good home, what was the word that you used? Not habli, huh? It was atina. Rabbana atina, give us. Here you are saying, Rabbi hab. Oh Allah, I'm asking you for a gift. What gift is that? Habli, give to me. Bestow a gift upon me. Min ladunka, from yourself. You have the power to decide who will have a child and who will not have a child. Who will be blessed with this gift and who will not be blessed with the gift. I do not care what the world says about it, O Allah, but min ladunka, I want it from you, ladunka, from your side, a special gift from your side. So the child that you have is a special gift from Allah's side to you. That is what it is, a special gift from Allah. Min ladunka, dhurriyah, an offspring. Now the dua teaches us, dhurriyatan tayyiba. Always when you're asking Allah for a child, and Allah blesses you with a child, and never stop asking Allah for a child. I met a gentleman, not a gentleman, an elderly person just before the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, he was really old. I mean, he's old to be my grandfather, to be honest. And I met him and I got chatting with him. And he told me about his daughter. And I assumed that he was talking about his daughter. She's perhaps my age or perhaps older than me. Or maybe a few years younger than me. And then he tells me she's 5 years old. I said, 5 years old? Okay. I was confused and he noticed the confusion on my face. He says, you know what? 25 years of my life, only after 25 years of marriage did Allah bless us with a child. 25 years. After 25 years and she's now 5 years old. And Allah blessed us with a daughter. One child and that's it. SubhanAllah, I said, what's the secret? He says, I never gave up. That is on the dua. He says, I never gave up making dua to Allah. And after 25 years, Allah blessed us with a daughter. So you don't ever give up, because giving up shows that element of impossibility that you were told of is still within your mind. And you need to annihilate that from your mind. Get it out of your mind. So he makes dua at the age of 90. Rabbi habni min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. And the best part is, he's making dua, Allah, I don't deserve. You see, that should be the overwhelming and prevailing feeling in your heart. I don't deserve it, Allah. I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. I'm not worth that gift. I don't deserve that gift. But just habli, grant it to me. Min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. And there's a few things that I'd like to make mention of here, that your child is a gift. And another thing is, never, never express disappointment on the gender of the child. This is the highest level of ingratitude to Allah. When a person expresses disappointment on the gender of the child, you know, a few years back, or perhaps a year back or so, personal experiences that I'm relating to you. And it's so amazing, because look at the dua, what the dua teaches us, and look at what we have within our minds. There was a man who came to me and he says, you know what, make dua for my daughter. I says, why? What's wrong with your daughter? He says, no, the first child Allah blessed her with was a son. Allah blessed her with a son. And then she conceived, alhamdulillah, and throughout her pregnancy, in fact, before she conceived, she was really making dua for a daughter. And she really, really wanted a daughter. That was her dua day and night. But when she gave birth, it was a son. And she's so disappointed that she's now gone into a state of depression. Wallahi, I had to contain my anger when he told me this. He says, what's a dua that we can recite for her? I had to contain my feelings at that moment. I said, what do you mean? I said, how's the child? No, the child, alhamdulillah, is perfectly fine. The child is perfectly normal. But she's so disappointed with the gender of the child that she's gone into a state of depression. And I, you know, after that, I thought about this. And I said, Allah is so kind, that before the child was even conceived, Allah knew, I'm going to give this woman a gift. And she will be so disappointed with the gift that I give her, that she will go into a state of depression. That's how disappointed she will be with the gift that I give her. Allah could have given her what? An abnormal child. Allah could have given her with a child that does not have the faculty of hearing or the faculty of sight, so that she may suffer as a result of the disappointment that she expressed in the favor of Allah. But Allah still, wallahi, the kindness of Allah, we spoke about rahmah, right, this evening. That's Allah's rahmah. No matter how disappointed she was with the gift of Allah, Allah gave her a perfect, normal child. So this is one thing that we need to, irrespective of what the gender of the child may be, we must express happiness that this is a great, huge gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. We will conclude on this note this evening, inshallah. And tomorrow, hopefully, we will try and conclude this wonderful, beautiful dua made by Zakariya alayhi salam for pure and righteous offspring. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.